songs on the overhead, sometimes the right song, sometimes not the right song, but you prove to me over and over again you don't really need it when we're singing some of those favorite, now maybe that last song you needed it, but a lot of the songs that we sing, we know them really well. We ought to spend more time memorizing songs and singing songs from memory. If you think about the stories of in the book of Acts, you remember that occasion when Paul and Silas are in prison? I think I have it right. And what are they doing in prison? They're looking at the overhead. No, they're singing hymns. They're singing hymns to God, and I can pretty much guarantee you they didn't have any songbook or any overhead or anything like that. And yet they had some hymns that they could sing. And so it's good for us to have some songs that we commit to memory, and we try to sing that way from time to time. We didn't do that to you on purpose, Tyler, but anyway, sometimes it happens to us. It's also nice that we have some construction going on. Today's lesson is about the ministry of Jesus, who is the son of a carpenter. And so maybe it's a sort of 3D effect, you know, like going to the movies in 3D surround sound or something, to have a little bit of the smell of cut lumber and so forth in here, talking about the ministry of Jesus. Roy wants me to be sure you know this is a platform and not a stage, but I like to call it a stage because it's easier to talk about being upstaged than it is to say up platform. It just doesn't work as a joke. So, and come VBS, I think it will transform from platform to stage for sure. So those of you that are getting ready for that, this will be a real blessing to have a little more room. I can't tell you how many times I held my breath the last few years at VBS because our set came hanging precariously off the steps, and some character is supposed to walk around them, and I'm thinking, are they going to remember that there's a drop off there, or what's going to happen? So we've got plenty more room coming for things like that, and some good work is going on. And it's good to be with you and consider the ministry of Jesus. And as John observed at the end of his gospel, there are many, many things that Jesus did that could be written down. And as I think about this sermon, there are many, many things that were written down that could be talked about. And so I had to sort of think carefully, what do I want to talk about in the ministry of Jesus? Because we have to make some choices. There are a lot of things that could be written down. The ones that were written down were for us to believe. But in Matthew 4:17, that's the verse that's in your bulletin. In Matthew 4:17, it characterizes the beginning of Jesus' ministry this way. It says, at that time, Jesus began to preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. It's come near. Repent. Repent is a tough word. In a lot of the improvement stuff that I teach as a consultant, some of you have had the fortune or misfortune, I'm not sure which, to engage me in conversation about that. And I'll resist this morning engaging a conversation about that because it usually goes on and we need to get to the ministry fair. But one of the things that I try to teach companies is that feedback is like the breakfast of champions. Feedback is critical. If you can't receive feedback, if you don't get feedback from people, if you can't take feedback, then there's something wrong. And since I've been preaching now since August, you guys were pretty nice to me the first few months. I didn't get much feedback. Lately, I've got more feedback. And I appreciate it. I don't like it all, but I appreciate it. Feedback is kind of like that. It's kind of like the message of Jesus' ministry. It's hard to talk about repentance and have it be a positive morning. Today, Jesus is calling on each of us to repent. And you may not like the rest of the sermon. Because the thing when repentance means the direction you've been going, it's the wrong direction. You need to take a different direction. And so sometimes I get some feedback that people think I'm really critical of us. And I hope I'm not. I don't want to be critical of us, but it's hard to preach repentance-type sermons and not sound like you are. Because the whole nature of repentance is to recognize what we're doing wrong and stop it and start doing something else in its place. And so the message today is not meant to be overly critical of us. I'm happy to be a proud member of the Church of Christ, grew up in a Church of Christ. I'm very proud of that heritage. I think there's wonderful things about that heritage. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think we're perfect. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a sermon. Why would we need a sermon if we were perfect? If we were perfect, we'd just go about doing all the stuff we're supposed to do. But I think God's plan was to have us come to church because we are who we are. And so I want you to hear me in that spirit today, that there's some things I think that we should hear from Jesus and take stock of ourselves. As James said, the word is like a mirror, and that people who hear the word and then don't do anything different with it are like people who look in a mirror, their hair's all messed up and everything, but they don't do anything about it. They just walk away and forget what they look like. And so we don't want to do that. We want to hold the word of God up as a mirror and have it reflect on us and see how we can do better. And that's the spirit in which I offer the sermons and the sermons of late. And so I'd also say it's true to our heritage. There may be some of you here that remember some preachers of old who would make the comment, I don't really feel like we had a sermon until the preacher stepped on my toes. Did you ever hear that? There's not too many of you that heard that. I'm in trouble. When I was a kid, I heard that a lot. So anyway, maybe that's a part of the disconnect. But I think the word is designed that way, to challenge us, to call us to be better, to be different. Jesus' ministry was summarized, the launching of his ministry, in Matthew 4:17, when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's something about God's kingdom that has come here, and it's calling us. It's calling us to do something different than what we've been doing. Because the kingdom is here. Because the kingdom is here. We can't stay the same. Part of our heritage that I'm particularly proud of is that we have looked to follow the New Testament pattern. The New Testament pattern in being in church. We like to have a verse in the Bible, preferably the New Testament, that tells us what to do and about the things that we do. We like to back it up with a scripture. We want to follow the pattern that's in here, the pattern that's in here about being in church. And I want to say there's an ancient pattern in Jesus Christ himself, that if we want to consider the ministry of the church, that's what today's theme is about with these tables around here. If we want to consider the ministry we should have as a church, a great pattern to look at is the ministry of Jesus. What was Jesus' ministry about? It's the pattern we're to follow. I forgot the reference, so somebody will just have to help me like they did in class today. But it's in 1 John where it says, whoever claims to be in him must walk as Jesus walked. We sing that song, Where He Leads, I'll Follow. And in those verses, there's a line, He the great example is, and pattern for me. And pattern for me. You can look that one up in the songbook. I don't know the song number either. Not doing so good in my references this morning. But I want to submit to you that Jesus forms a pattern for us in the church. We're to be His body. We're to be the church of Jesus Christ. We're the church of Christ. We're to be the body of Christ. We're to carry on the ministry of Jesus as his people today in the church. That's why we're here. That's what we're about. That's what we were made for. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we are all baptized into, by one spirit, into one body. That's his body to follow in his pattern. So I want to point out a little bit of the pattern of Jesus' ministry as presented in the opening chapters in Matthew, and have us consider a little bit this morning our ministry as a church, and just hold it up as a mirror and see if there are some things maybe we're doing right, we should continue, and some things maybe we're not doing so right, we should change direction about following Jesus' sermon. Repent, for the kingdom is near. The first thing that happens after the birth narratives is that Jesus comes and is baptized. He comes and he's baptized. That's in Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. He comes to John the Baptist. Jesus says he did that to fulfill all righteousness. We follow that pattern in conversion. As people hear the gospel and they come to believe it, they repent of their sins, they confess Jesus as Lord, they're immersed like people were in the New Testament, even like Jesus was in Matthew 3. It's baptism. It's a beginning. And sometimes I think people think I have a little heartburn with that five-step formula. That was the five-step formula for people who don't hear me ever say it. So I just said it. I can take feedback, right? And so there's nothing wrong with that five-step formula, but it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Baptism was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And sometimes I think we presented those five steps, and that's all we ever say to anybody. And there's so much more. When I was a little boy, I knew it wasn't the whole story. I didn't know why, and I wasn't very well studied, but I was asked to give a sermon. I think I was about 9 years old. And I didn't want to just preach what everybody else had preached. And so I preached not the five steps. You might be shocked. I preached the 10 steps to salvation. First five, like everybody else preached. And then I had a bunch more stuff you're supposed to do after you get baptized. And I knew in my heart that it was just the beginning. It's not the end. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And then immediately, Jesus faces temptation. He faces temptation. And when you look at that temptation, let me get it back here right. When you look at that temptation, there were three temptations, right? You remember those? And Satan came, and Jesus had been in the desert fasting for 40 days. And the first temptation, the devil says, "See those rocks over there? Why don't you turn those into bread? I know you can, and I know you're hungry. Why don't you turn those rocks into bread?" And Jesus says, "Look, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so he resists that temptation to feed himself with his power. The second temptation, you remember what it is? Satan takes him up onto the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, "Jump off, because I got a scripture for you. The scripture says God's looking out for you. He's given the angels charge over you. You're not even going to hurt your foot against a stone. If you trip, the angels catch you. Jesus, you're so blessed, you can't even get a hangnail, I don't think. So just jump off the temple and show everybody. Prove that God is up to his word in your life." And Jesus says, "Look, you're not supposed to put the Lord your God to the test. I'm not going to do that. I got miracles to work to show the power of God, but I'm not jumping off the temple to prove that God takes care of me. I know he takes care of me." And then the third temptation was just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms. You know, and Jesus says, "Well, there's only one God to bow down and worship to, and it's not you. It's not you." And so Jesus faces that temptation, and I think we do too as a church. Then he begins to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And as he begins to preach, he calls others to join with him. He calls disciples to follow him and to learn from him and to participate in that ministry. And then he not only teaches, but he sets about going through the countryside and healing people and encountering people with needs. And then the stories go out from there. I just stopped at chapter 4. But you can go on. There's the teaching that comes after it, Matthew 5 through 7. like a great sermon in church, followed by more going out into the countryside and encountering people and feeding people that are hungry and healing people that are sick and lifting up the fallen and even doing things like just going to their house. Jesus encouraged people to repent. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, who wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, come on down. I'm going to come to your house. When he came to the house, we don't know if Jesus gave him a bunch of teaching or not, but somehow the presence of Jesus entering his house caused Zacchaeus to repent, didn't it? It caused Zacchaeus to say, I got to change my ways. I got to make some things right. And he did. And so the ministry of Jesus, the ancient pattern of Jesus, is one that we can follow as a church as well. And so, will we be a church like Jesus? That's a question for us today. That's a question I think the text holds up for us. The kingdom is here. The kingdom has come near. Will we be a church like Jesus? Baptism is just the beginning for a life of ministry. And it's 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 that says we're baptized by one spirit into one body. His body, the church. And so our baptism is just the beginning as we come into this. But as a church, as well as individually, but as a church, we also must face a temptation. Maybe the same kinds of temptations that Satan brought to Jesus himself. If he brought them to Jesus and thought they would work, it's a pretty good idea he's going to bring them to us. And while he brings many temptations to us individually, as a church, there's some sense we face those same temptations, if you can hear me. Temptation of selfishness. When the devil was tempting Jesus to turn the stones to bread, to feed himself, he was saying, you got all this power, use it for yourself. You're hungry. You haven't eaten for 40 days. It's time to feed yourself. But there's a way for you to use your power to do it. And often we may be tempted as a church to put all of our energy, all of our time, and all of our talents into ourselves, into feeding ourselves. It's not wrong to feed ourselves. It wasn't wrong for Jesus to eat. He didn't fast his whole entire 3.5 years ministry on this earth. It's not wrong to eat. It's not wrong to take care of yourself, but the temptation is there to do everything you're doing. It's about us. It's about us. And Jesus didn't want to turn those stones to bread because he knew there was ministry to go and do. That his power needed to be used to give sight to the blind and to heal the lame and to raise the dead. Those were the things he needed to use his miraculous powers for, ministry. It's also a temptation of the devil for us to become obsessed with how God is taking care of us. And so while it's wonderful to have testimony about what God is doing among us, it's also dangerous that it can become our own, let's jump off the temple because God is taking care of us. And shouldn't we as a church be turning our attention to what Jesus turned his attention to? Ministering to others, reaching out to others, not just showing that God is taking care of us. And then often, I've said this before, so I'll just say it briefly. I think one particular temptation we have is that as people of the book, of people who've really studied, I feel, as we're reading the Gospel of John, that part of what reflects on me is that I find myself identifying with the wrong characters. I find myself frequently identifying with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who said, I studied that text, and I know what that means. And Jesus doesn't seem to be fitting it right now with what he's doing. And I don't like that. I want to repent of that. I've said that before. And so I think the temptations of Jesus maybe apply to us as a church. If they do, we need to repent. You know, we need to face them the way Jesus faced them. Okay, we need to call people to follow Jesus. Jesus told us to go and to all the world preach the gospel. Some translations say go and make disciples. Just like Jesus called disciples, we as a church should be concerned not just about ourselves, but how we're reaching out to people who don't know the Lord, who need to hear the call to come and follow Jesus. And that's what a lot of these tables are about. Today, various ways that we can do that. And we could be a church like Jesus when serving people accompanies our message. And I think it's tempting, especially since I like to talk, it's tempting for us to just have a lot of meetings where we come to and where we talk to ourselves and we preach to ourselves and we sort of watch carefully what the teacher is saying so that if they say something wrong, we can fix it. And it's all us. It's all us. And at some point, we've got to get out like Jesus did. He did teaching for sure, but he got out with people. He went to people's houses. He ate and drank with them. He healed people who were sick. He touched lepers. He got involved in the messiness of people's lives. He sat down with that woman at the well who'd had five husbands and now was with somebody who wasn't her husband. That's who he engaged with. And so the challenge for us as a church is, are we serving people that way? Are we going to serve people that way? Are we going to get involved with people that way to follow the pattern of Jesus' ministry? Words and action really need to go together. What we say and what we teach is important. I think we got that part right. What we do in service, maybe we have opportunity to do more. And that's the call of today in the ministry fair. These are just some things we are already doing. And I'm going to have a clipboard in the back, so if there's things that aren't represented at these tables that we should be doing, you're convicted of today. I'm ready to, I got a pen, paper, and everything. I'll be back there. I don't get a table. There were only 10 tables, and I'm the 11th table. So anyway, but you can see me, and I'll write that stuff down. And those are things we'd like to get involved in. But Jesus, as we've seen in our reading of the Gospel of John, when he said, I'm the bread, he backed it up by feeding the multitude. When he said, I'm the light of the world, he gave sight to the blind. When he said, I'm the resurrection, he raised Lazarus from the dead. His actions and his words went together. And as a church, that's the challenge for us. Can our teaching and our actions go together in this world to follow the pattern of Jesus' ministry? There's a really interesting episode in Luke 7, and I'll just make reference to it here. It's in Luke 7, 18 through 23. If you have a Bible, you can turn open there. It's nice to hear those pages. John the Baptist is in prison, and pretty soon he's going to lose his head, but he hasn't lost his head yet, and he's in prison, but he sends his disciples. He sends some of his disciples to Jesus, and he says, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Or should we look for another? He has some doubt. John the Baptist has some doubts. Later, it is life. And he's so sure that, behold, that's the Lamb of God. We saw in the reading a week or so ago that people... Jesus went back to that area around the Jordan, and people who were hanging around that area said, everything John the Baptist said about this guy is true, and they put their faith in him. John the Baptist was a great witness. He'd done a lot of great things, but when he was in prison, he wasn't quite sure. Are you it? Are you the one? And he sent the disciples to Jesus to ask. If you ever pray that prayer to the Lord, Lord, can you help me? I have some doubts. You're just like John the Baptist. And Jesus responds to that. He responds to the disciples who come and says, you go back and report. Go back and report. What does he tell them to go back and report? What you see and hear. That the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. That's the evidence Jesus gave. I'm the true Christ. I'm the true Christ. Because if you can see what I do and what I teach. You can see what I do and you can see what I teach. And that's the evidence that I'm the true Christ. So I couldn't help it. Are we the true church of Christ? Are we the true church of Christ? You know, nobody here, because you're here. But people who aren't here, there are people who aren't here who have asked that question. They've asked the question, is this the church, or should I look for another? Should I look for another? We don't like to talk about it, but you can look around. You can look in your own families. You can look at friends. You can look at people you've known over the years. A lot of people, a lot of my peers, they looked for another. They looked for another. And that's cause for us, I think, to pause and ask ourselves, why? And maybe they're all wrong. Maybe they're all wrong in looking for another. I don't know. I like to think they are, because I'm not looking for another. I feel a little lonely sometimes. There's a lot of people in my age bracket or somewhere else. They looked for another. But they wanted to know, it's this is the true church. And I think, as I reflect, as right as the answers are that we've given them that they didn't accept, as right as those answers are, something was wrong with them. As right as they were, I'm not saying they were wrong, please don't freak out. I wasn't saying all the reasons that we do what we do, the way we do it, and believe what we believe, the way we believe it, are wrong. They're not. But our answer has not worked for people who've asked this question. And so I wonder if we could try answering the question the way Jesus answered the question to John the Baptist and his disciples. Should we look for another? And ask the question, what do you see? What do you see in us as a church? Do you see the right teaching and that's it? Or do you see the right teaching accompanied with people being helped, with people being healed, with the messiness of people's lives being dealt with? And I'm not saying we don't do anything in that regard. I'm just challenging us. What's the witness? Can we say, like Jesus did, that these things are happening? Can we say that the good news is preached to the poor or anybody that much? And the preaching in here doesn't really count. It doesn't really count because the vast majority of you already responded to the good news. There may be a person or two, and we want you to respond to the good news. We certainly do. But if this is our program of evangelism, it's not very good, because the people who need to hear that message, they're not here. They're not coming here. And so what are we doing? Are we going out? And that's what these 10 tables, again, are about. Are ways we're trying already to do this, to get involved in the messiness of people's lives, to carry the message of the good news out there in words and action, in words and action. And so the encouragement today is for you to get involved. There's people involved in all the things that are at these tables, but there's not enough people involved in all the things that are at these tables. And there probably needs to be more tables. And if you're involved in something that isn't represented at one of these tables, you don't have to have a table to do the work of the church. And just come and let me know about it. We'll make sure you get a table next time. And I think we need to be sure that we do face successfully, like Jesus did, the temptations. The temptations to feed ourselves, the temptation to be all about ourselves, the temptation to worship something, maybe even our own rightness, if you will, instead of worshiping God, and then being called from that worship to service, to reach out, to get involved with people who are hurting, people who are needy, people who need to know the gospel. Well, it's important for us to recognize that our response to the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried on the third day, he rose again, that our response to that gospel is just that. It's the beginning. It's our response. That when you hear that message and believe it, when you repent of your going your own way and you confess Jesus as Lord and you reenact that death, burial, and resurrection in baptism, you come up out of that water to live a new life, to do those other five things I preached about as a kid, to do the ministry that Jesus launched out in doing. There's a world out there, and they need us. Jesus sent us there. He said, go into the world. Go into the world and preach that gospel. Bring that good news and bring it the way I brought it. Not just with words, but with actions and with power. John 14:12. Okay, still a couple of weeks to get there. But if you're me, you have to read ahead in the Gospel of John. John 14:12, Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. They'll do even greater things than these. So have we done enough? Have we done enough? Can we do more? We need to repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here, and there's work to do. We need to hear Jesus. There's kingdom work to do. There's helping and healing and feeding and serving. And there's so much more sharing the gospel that we can do. And so today, if we get anything out of the lesson, it ought to be that. That there's more we can do. That we haven't done enough. And we may never do enough. But we need to repent of not doing enough and try to do more. And try to go in the direction of Jesus. So there's two responses today. We're about to sing our invitation song. I believe it's We Praise Thee, O God, isn't it? Yeah. We Praise Thee, O God. Which, Tyler, I can't remember ever being in church, and We Praise Thee, O God was the invitation song. And I had no communication with Tyler about the songs. But I love this song as a song of response today. I love it as a song of response that gets us ready to swarm these tables and to sign up to do ministry. Because we praise God for all he's done for us, for giving Jesus, and then we ask him to revive us, to revive us. That's kind of a repentance kind of thing, revival, you know. There was a time in this country when Christian churches had revival meetings. Some of you might remember those. Been suggested, we got a lot of space out here to have a big tent revival meeting. That suggestion's come up now 3 or 4 times. Maybe the Lord is telling us we should do it, even though it sounds nuts and we have a lot of logical reasons not to do it. Revival, it's a repentance kind of thing. And so we want, as you sing that song, we want you to consider sing your praise to the Lord, but consider that prayer, asking God to revive us in these areas of ministry this morning, for sure. And if you're not a person who has responded to that gospel, that by that one Spirit has been baptized into the one body to serve as the body of Christ in ministry as Jesus did, we'd encourage you to do that today. Let's stand together. We're going to sing We Praise Thee, O God. After the last song and the prayer, you can all respond by going to these tables and find out what's going on and plug in somewhere you haven't been plugged in before. That's our encouragement today. Let's sing.